You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, we continue our series of candidate interviews with Paul Nehlen, the Republican candidate running against Speaker Paul Ryan for Congress.
Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in on national politics with Harry Enten from 538.com. With both conventions over, the major party campaigns are looking for a post-convention bounce in the polls, and Republican leaders are worried about a string of controversial comments from candidate Donald Trump. Harry Enten is a senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, before we get into some of the latest news here, let's look at this whole post-convention bounce concept, every candidate hoping they come out with a big jump. What did we see first from Donald Trump, then from Hillary Clinton?
So we saw that Donald Trump did get a bounce out of the Republican National Convention of about 3 to 4 points, which is a good bounce, but historically speaking isn't traditionally large and is in fact below average if you look all the way back to, say, 1964. But then Hillary Clinton came out of the Democratic National Convention with about a 7 percentage point bounce. So she had a larger bounce than Donald Trump, and it's currently showing up in the polls right now. And she is the favorite, at least at this point in the campaign.
Harry, a lot of politically committed people have been watching this election closely for a long time, over a year, and nerds like you and me, we've been paying close attention. But is this the time, now that we have the candidates really in place, that everybody, a lot more people, are seriously tuning into this race?
Yeah, we should expect to see that about now. It may, in fact, be a month from now. Traditionally, at least over the past few decades, the conventions are held in, at least the last convention is held in August, and that wasn't the case this time around. In fact, the last convention, the Democratic National Convention, was held in late July. So usually we say it's around Labor Day when people really start tuning in, but that's also tied to the conventions. So I would say about from now till Labor Day, we should expect voters who aren't nerds or perhaps have lives to start tuning into the campaign, though I would like to say I have at least a little bit of a life.
I think you do. I don't, though. Well, the latest polling came before a long string of controversial moments from Donald Trump. Here's just a few of them.
He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine.
Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here.
And I'm afraid the election's going to be rigged. I have to be honest.
If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me, but plenty of people have written that.
So in addition to those, Putin and Ukraine, the Gold Star parents, the baby, in a print interview also, he said he would not endorse Paul Ryan or John McCain in their primaries. Harry, lots of top Republicans, we're seeing reports, they're worried. We're hearing phrases like an intervention is needed, break glass in case of emergency, exit ramp. What's going on?
I think that this has just been a horrible 72 hours or 96 hours. It's just been a terrible last week for Donald Trump. I mean, you saw the polling come out of the convention, and then he just can't keep his mouth shut. He needs to win every fight according to himself, and so he keeps needling people when it's clear that the public isn't on his side. And I think Republicans in Washington have had enough of that. I think they're obviously not favorably disposed to him in the first place. And then he starts making these comments, and, you know, you start seeing perhaps effects down ballot. You know, one instance of that being immediate is obviously Trump refusing to endorse Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan's probably still going to win that primary, but still. And I think Republicans are very fed up, and they are deciding, you know what, enough is enough. But to be clear, just because they say they're going to stage an intervention or do whatever, that doesn't mean they're actually going to do anything. They may just be trying to send a signal to Donald Trump that you've gone too far this time. Look, Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for President of the United States, and until I actually see him stand on a stage and say otherwise, there's nothing that anybody else can really do because he's the one with all the power right now.
The big message for a while now from people like Reince Priebus, from Donald Trump himself, was that after he locked up the primary campaign, after he became the nominee, presumptive, he was going to pivot and start sounding more presidential. Donald Trump said himself he was going to start sounding more presidential. Not seeing that so far, even now that the conventions are over.
I would say not, unless Donald Trump has a different dictionary definition of pivot than I do. No, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He can't help himself. This is the same Donald Trump that was running the primaries. There's nothing that he's saying now that should be too surprising to anyone, unless you truly believe that Donald Trump was capable of change. But there hasn't been any indication that Donald Trump is really capable of change. Maybe the one bit of good news for him over the last week is that some fundraising numbers came out, which indicated that, in fact, that he's gotten his act together, at least someone on that. But in terms of actual actions on the campaign trail and statements that he's made, no sign of a pivot. And you know what? That would be perfectly fine if he was leading in the polls as he was in the primary. but in the general election, more times than not, the vast majority of times, more times than not, he's been trailing, and he trails right now with no sign that he's able to change his course.
Some people have looked at the polls and said, oh, it's this Gold Star parent thing. Are we seeing the impact of those comments, do you think, in polling yet?
I think it's very difficult to distill out what exactly is the cause. We know that conventions traditionally have provided bounces to candidates, and Hillary Clinton got a bounce coming out of the Democratic National Convention. Whether or not the Kahn controversy had something to do with that, perhaps it did. It could be that we're going to see a lingering bounce, perhaps longer than we expected to because of it. Or it could be the case that, in fact, the Kahn controversy, while has revved up a lot of people, hasn't necessarily changed the polls very much. We don't know that yet, but I'm sure that as the next couple of days come out, and if Clinton's lead continues to expand, then I think it's clear that this Kahn controversy has had an effect. Otherwise, we can just say that perhaps it has or perhaps it hasn't.
A lot of the criticism of Donald Trump by Republicans has come in the past from people he was running directly against, who he'd tangled with in the past. This week, Chris Christie, one of the first high-profile Republicans, disagreed with him publicly on the Gold Star parents, the Kahn family, back and forth. Newt Gingrich used the phrase self-destructive, describing Trump's campaign. Newt Gingrich, again, a prominent Republican, early adopter of the Trump campaign. If those people who have set themselves in a way closest to Donald Trump are saying these things, is that a worry? Is that something that Trump's campaign should be worried about?
I think it's absolutely something they should be worried about. I mean, there were some talks that, you know, Trump was trying to send messages to surrogates, let's jump off the Kahn controversy. But I should also point out with Chris Christie and Newt Gingrich, there was a reason why they might have been so nice to Donald Trump before this, and that was because they believed that they had a shot to be his vice presidential running mate. And now, obviously, that's no longer possible unless he's going to drop Mike Pence from the ticket, which I think is probably less probable than Donald Trump dropping out of the race, which itself is not very probable at all.
Another twist in the vice presidential side of things, you mentioned Mike Pence. He endorsed Paul Ryan in his primary with Donald Trump, said he wasn't quite ready to do. And Pence said Trump had encouraged him to endorse Paul Ryan. So a mixed message there coming from the two halves of the ticket.
I think that we often assign far too much credit to the Trump campaign that they have any idea what they're doing. Look, one of the reasons that I think Mike Pence was picked in the first place was because he was close with Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan praised the pick when Pence was selected. So it's no surprise to me that Pence is getting behind Paul Ryan at this time, but to assign any sort of credit to the Trump campaign saying, oh, Donald Trump encouraged Mike Pence to endorse Paul Ryan, I don't think that we have any basis in fact to actually back that up, or, you know, besides maybe a little statement. But, you know, a campaign say things all the time. All we know is what Donald Trump has said on the record, and that is that he isn't quite ready to endorse Paul Ryan. And that's really what I would go on.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com, looking at the latest in national politics. Another worry for Republicans is what happens down ballot, not very far down ballot in things like Senate and House races. Donald Trump scheduled to come to Green Bay, Wisconsin on Friday. People not in attendance as of airtime: Governor Scott Walker, Paul Ryan, Senator Ron Johnson in a reelection campaign there. Are we going to see a lot of Republicans in election campaigns or not out there campaigning next to Donald Trump?
I think if I were they, I would run as far away as I possibly could. You know, I'm actually working on a story right now which looks at the 10 most competitive Senate races nationwide, including in the state of Wisconsin. And if you look across those 10 races, what you see consistently pretty much is that Donald Trump is doing worse than the Republican Senate candidate in those states. That is, there's the potential that he is dragging them down. It's bad coattails for them. And so if I were they, I would run very, very far away. We're already seeing that in a number of states. And I guess what is so amazing to me, which I really have never heard of before, was just yesterday, Donald Trump is going after Kelly Ayotte, who is in a very tough matchup for a re-election in the state of New Hampshire, and he goes after her. For what reason? He says he's running ahead of her. Not surprisingly, if you follow Donald Trump's statements, that wasn't exactly true. In fact, Kelly Ayotte is polling better in New Hampshire than Trump is. But what is this? I would just run as far away from him as I possibly could. And that may not work, but hey, if Donald Trump is losing in your state, why would you want to be tied to him?
And to be clear, the people I listed have not said they're avoiding Donald Trump. They all have alternate schedule plans for when Donald Trump is here.
Sure, that's a nice way of putting it. You know, I often might say to someone, oh, no, I already had plans, you know, for dinner. Secretly, though, I'm actually just watching old political tapes at home because I wanted to avoid them.
Now, interestingly, there is another major party candidate in this presidential race named Hillary Clinton. With all of this talk going around on all these controversial comments from Donald Trump, is that sucking the air out of the room for, A, what she wants to talk about, and B, negative things she doesn't want to talk about that Republicans could be, like her statements about whether she was truthful, as the FBI sees it, on email comments, or this Iran money deal around the time some prisoners were released from Iran? There are a lot of things that Republicans probably want to be talking about that they're not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, Hillary Clinton is not particularly well-liked. Even after the Democratic National Convention, more people dislike her than like her. Usually that would mean very, very bad things for a candidate. But fortunately for Clinton, Trump is sucking up all the oxygen in the room. The statement that you spoke about in terms of James Comey and the FBI that was on, I believe, a Sunday talk show this past week, she was given four Pinocchios for that statement by the Washington Post, and no one is talking about it, not a single person. And the reason is that Trump is sucking all the oxygen out of the room. You know, they sometimes say that all press is good press, but sometimes it isn't, and I think Donald Trump is proving that right now. And Hillary Clinton, I think, understands that. I think she's more than happy to give some of the limelight to Trump if he keeps putting it on himself in a bad way.
Is the race still a race to be the least disliked candidate between Clinton and Trump?
By the definitions that we set forth, absolutely. I mean, Hillary Clinton is still disliked by more people than liked. Donald Trump is disliked by even more people. So I think it still is a race between the lesser of two evils. But to be clear, Donald Trump is a lot more disliked than Hillary Clinton. If you look at their net favorability ratings, Donald Trump's is 20 percentage points worse than Hillary Clinton's, according to Gallup. That makes Clinton at this point the favorite going into the fall.
Some of the messaging at the Democratic convention seemed clearly pitched toward Republicans who didn't want to vote for Donald Trump, so-called moderate Republicans, I guess. It seems like the Hillary Clinton campaign is still trying to do that. You wrote about this, Harry, looking at what kind of Republican voter was more likely to maybe jump ship from Donald Trump and go to Hillary Clinton. What did you see?
Well, essentially what we saw was we got such a large sample size, so we were able to drill down. And what it seems to be is the people that are most likely to jump ship, the Republicans most likely to jump ship and vote for Hillary Clinton, are people who self-identify as moderates, who have at least a college degree, and are somewhere between, say, the Northeast going into just east of Wisconsin, basically the eastern part of the Midwest region. And not surprisingly, what you see is that Hillary Clinton is picking up endorsements, or at least people who are saying they're not going to vote for Trump from that region. For instance, Richard Hanna, who's a representative from upstate New York, has been the first Republican in Congress to come out and say explicitly that he is going to vote for Hillary Clinton. We saw Charlie Dent, who's a prominent Republican from the state of Pennsylvania, saying he cannot vote for Donald Trump at this time. And so to me, you know, that could be very bad news for Trump, because part of that region where you expect Hillary Clinton to pick up votes from these moderate Republicans jumping ship, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, these are all states that Donald Trump has targeted, and it's going to be very difficult for him to pick up those states if a third of moderate Republicans with a college degree are going for Hillary Clinton.
Right. Those are the states people keep pointing toward as must-win states if Donald Trump is going to take, if he's going to keep everything that Mitt Romney won, which is a question mark in some states, and add enough states to win. Ohio, Pennsylvania are the ones that people talk about a lot.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people talk about those states because they believe that Donald Trump has an appeal to working class white voters, that is traditionally white voters without a college degree. But what's that worth if you're losing a ton of ground white voters with a college degree? You know, you're maybe filling one side of the tube, but the other side is wide open and you're leaking support. And that's what seems to be the case with Donald Trump, which is why, in fact, he's trailing in the polls in all three of those states at this time.
Harry, from your perch in the national media scene, are people going to be watching Wisconsin this presidential election, or are we going to be just a sideshow?
I think that, obviously, I'm always watching Wisconsin, but I think that it's one of the states that most likely will stay in the Democratic column if you're looking at the 538 forecast. And you're also looking at the Senate polls right now. Russ Feingold does hold a lead, which is larger than some of the leads in other of the Senate battleground states.
And very briefly, Harry, what are you watching for next in the polls?
I want to see whether or not this Hillary Clinton bounce sticks or whether it rises, or do we see some fall back of it. If it falls back, then we have a real race on our hands. But by the end of the month, if Hillary Clinton is up by what she's up by right now in a lot of the polls, this race is going to be very difficult for Donald Trump to win.
Harry, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538.com, looking at the latest in national politics.
Coming up after the news, we talk to the Republican candidate running against Speaker of the House Paul Ryan in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.